Now, last week, Luke helped us launch our series on the parables, and he started by reminding us how much we like stories, whether we read those stories or whether we watch those stories. And as we get to our text today, we're going to see where Jesus uses more stories as he continues to teach us. Now, also want to mention this. Last week, when Luke preached over at South Wilson, he told them that I preached for 70 minutes, all right? And so I'm glad I got all the time I need today to say what I need to say. Amen? All right. Okay. Now I won't take 70 minutes. I promise. All right. Probably about half of that. But we're going to dig into God's word this morning. And so if you have your Bibles, I want you to turn in with them to Matthew 13. This is where Luke started us last week as we were looking at the parable of the sower. And this week, we're going to look at actually three more parables of Jesus, the parable of the weeds, the parable of the mustard seed, and of leaven. I told Kim what I was saying last night, and I said, that is weeds, all right, not weed. So we don't want to talk about weed, mustard seed, and leaven, all right? That'd be kind of a weird mix. This is the weeds, all right, mustard seed, and the leaven. Now, if that sounds like a lot, don't worry, okay? Because as we look at these, three of these are very much short stories, like maybe a short story I would read to one of my grandkids before go to bedtime, right? Really short, really brief, and to the point. In fact, let's read these three stories, and then we're going to look at them and what Jesus is teaching us, because if you remember, parables are simply stories that Jesus used to teach us spiritual lessons. And so today, we'll see he's teaching us about the kingdom of heaven. So follow along as I read this morning. It says, he put another parable before them saying, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while his men were sleeping, and his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. And so when the plants came up and also bore grain, then the weeds appeared also. And the servants of the master of the house came and said to him, Master, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have weeds? He said to them, an enemy has done this. And so the servants said to him, then do you want us to go and gather them? But he said, no, lest in gathering the weeds you root up the wheat along with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And at the harvest time, I will tell the reapers, gather the weeds first and bind them in bundles to be burned, but gather the wheat into the barn. He put another parable before them saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a grain of mustard seed that a man took and sowed in his field. It is the smallest of all seeds, but when it is grown, it is larger than all the garden plants and becomes a tree so that the birds of the air come and make nests in its branches. He told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like leaven that a woman took and hid it in three measures of flour till it was all leavened. Now, as we get ready to dig into this passage, I think it's important for us that we recognize that Jesus, through these three stories, two of them very simple, one of them a little bit longer, he is teaching us on one subject, the kingdom of heaven. This is very clear in that each of these stories start with the phrase, the kingdom of heaven, and then Jesus tells the story. Now, I don't know if that's a phrase that is familiar with you or not, but it is a common phrase that we find throughout the scriptures. Jesus often speaks of the kingdom of heaven, or sometimes it's translated as the kingdom of God. For example, in Matthew 4:17, we read where Jesus said this, from that time, Jesus began to preach saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. A little later, Jesus says in Matthew 7:21, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Now, if we did an in-depth study of this phrase, I believe we could understand that the kingdom of heaven has both a future and present reality. There is a part of this that we can talk about the kingdom of heaven as where we ultimately want to end up. We might say this, I mean, we want to make it to heaven, right? We want to get there someday. And that's part of what the kingdom of heaven is about. It's about being a part of God's kingdom where you live with him forever. However, in its fullest sense, the kingdom of heaven is about the present rule of God in a person's life. We should even speak of the kingdom of heaven in the sense of God's sovereignty and his sovereign rule over all things, that he is in control right now. Now, here's what gives us pause when I say that, all right? When we talk about the kingdom of heaven and we look all around us, we see so much that seems out of control. I mean, we look at the world and we see what we would call a moral decline or just general chaos and see the world is out of control. We might wonder sometimes this, where is God in the midst of all this? Or what is God up to? For some, they might even experience fear in life because they wonder even if there is a God. However, I can assure you that not only is God real, but God is at work and God is in control. And though things may seem out of control to us right now, hear me, God knows what's going on. All right, He knows that. Sometimes, here's what I thought about it this week. Sometimes as we look at life, it might be watching a drone light show, all right, in the middle of the day. Okay, think about it. How many of y'all seen a drone light show? Oh, if not, man, y'all need to see one, all right? But if you saw it in the middle of the day, here's what it would look like. It would look like a bunch of drones just going out in chaos, moving in all these different directions, and it wouldn't make any sense, right? But there's what you do. Turn off the lights and see it at night, and then these drones are moving in all these different places to make a beautiful light show, and it's just gorgeous. Sometimes spelling out words, sometimes just beautiful scenes, right? It's awesome. And if you dig into that, here's what you would know a little bit more, that each drone, man, is orchestrated to create this beautiful, amazing light show. They're controlled by things such as real-time communication, GPS and sensors, collision avoidance systems, and redundancy and safety protocols, all right? Y'all know what all those are, right? But they have all those things because it's making this beautiful light show happen, all right? It's beautiful and stunning. But see, if you saw it during the day, looks like chaos. See it at night, you see it's beautiful. Now, if you have seen one, again, you know what I'm talking about, but here's what I want you to see. Likewise, in our world, though at times it may seem very chaotic, you need to know something. God has everything under control, and He is working to create a beautiful ending. You hear me? Again, it may look that way right now, but it's beautiful when you put it in the hands of God. Now, as Jesus shares these stories about the kingdom of heaven or God's reign, He gives us some important insight that we need to understand. Remember, the challenge for us who have ears is that we would truly hear, and that we have eyes, we would truly see. Because if we're not careful, here's what we can do. We can close our ears to what God is wanting us to hear, and we can shut our eyes to what God is wanting us to see. And so here's what we're going to do. Let's break down these three stories to understand what Jesus wants us to know. I'm actually going to look first at the two short stories. And then we're going to come back to the longer one, mainly because of this. Because the longer one, we can read Jesus gives us the explanation. Now, if we look at the story of the mustard seed, Jesus compared the kingdom of heaven to a mustard seed, which is the smallest of seeds. However, when it is planted, it grows larger than all the other plants in the garden and becomes a tree. Now, some people want to get thrown off by the particulars here. Some would say, I've never seen a mustard grow that big, right? But let's understand, there are various kinds of mustard plants. That makes it important to consider that the one that Jesus is referring to is here's one that most likely, when it grew, it reached about 10 feet tall in height, all right? Even if you don't know the specifics of that kind of mustard plant, here's the point that Jesus is making that's very clear. It's amazing that something that's so small as a mustard seed, all right, could grow into a large shrub. Now, as we consider what Jesus is teaching about the kingdom of heaven, all right, listen to this lesson, all right, that we can learn is this, is that God doesn't need much to do a lot. He doesn't need much to do a lot. This is something that we clearly see in Jesus's life. For example, I don't know if you know this, that God's math even is different than our math. Did you know that? Let me ask you, when in our math, all right, does 5 loaves of bread and 2 fishes equal 5,000 people being fed with 12 baskets left over? Does that work in our math? No, but you put 5 loaves of bread and 2 fishes in God's hands, and He can feed 5,000 and have 12 left over because He can do much more with it than we can, right? Think about this. Where in our system does a misfit group of 12 men, all right, equal to 3,000 people making decisions to follow God in one day, all right? It doesn't necessarily work in our system, but God's kingdom, hear me, it's perfect sense, all right? Now, Jesus' point to us is this. God, no doubt, can use what appears to be the most insignificant thing to do great things for His kingdom, all right? For His kingdom grows from something small into something great. In fact, I wonder if in the history of Valley Creek, if when this small group of people gathered across the road over there and said, we need a church in this community, I wonder if they ever dreamed that it would look like this. You think? My guess is probably not. I mean, that little white church building that used to sit over there was probably their dream, and they probably thought, man, that's an amazing thing. And so if they would have been here today and look and see that the facilities I had, they would say today, wow, we would have never dreamed this could have happened, right? I wonder if those people who gathered there in those moments would ever said, hey, there's going to be a day when that church has given over $2 million, all right, to help missions work go on around the world. I wonder if they would ever dreamed of that. They would have probably thought, millions of dollars, no way, that is not anywhere in our sight, right? They would have never dreamed that. I wonder if they'd ever dreamed of the many, many lives, right, that have been given to Jesus Christ through the ministry of this church. My guess is that wasn't on their radar. But what did God do with a handful of people who gathered to say there needs to be a church in this community? God took that and he's done something great with it. Amen? Right? That's how our God worked. Those few believers God used to do great things. Now, let's make this a little personal and ask a question. What do you think that God can do with your life? Do you think that God can do great things with you? Many might say no, so let's consider an example. Because on November the 17, 1918, in a little house on a North Carolina dairy farm, a lady named Morrow, anyway, gave birth to a little boy named after his father, William. They called their child affectionately Billy. I wonder if they ever imagined that that little boy on that dairy farm would grow up to preach to millions of people on all continents around the world because he became the most famous evangelist of all time. Of course, I'm talking about Billy Graham. Right? Most likely that was not in their vision as they live life on their small dairy farm, but God doesn't need much to do a lot. So back to my question, what do you think that God can do through you? Maybe you assess your life as a little thing. Maybe you look and think, there's no way that I can make a big difference. However, if you let God take your life, even if you think it's the size of a mustard seed, he can plant your life and he can make it grow and have a huge impact for the kingdom of heaven. For that is the way his kingdom works. Because God is in control of all things, he can take what we might think is just a little simple life and he can use it to make a huge impact in the world. In fact, we're believing that's what God's doing at South Wilson. Right now we look and say, well, that's a little bitty work right now, right? But here's what we're believing. God's going to take what's a little work right now and he's going to do great things with it. Amen? All right, that's what we're believing. He's going to do those things. So if you are ready, God is ready to use your life for big things. For the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed. Now, the next parable in a way relates. Is the parable of leaven. It's short enough that I can read it again, so let me refresh your mind. He told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like leaven that a woman took and hid in 3 measures of flour till it was all leavened. Now, some people make the mistake, hear me, of trying to allegorize everything, and so they may want to take this parable and make too much of it. But Jesus was using common, everyday language so that the people could relate if they just used their ears to listen and their eyes to see. Let's take this story at face value. We are talking about leaven. Okay, let me ask you this now. Is leaven a good thing or a bad thing? Okay, good thing. All right, according to Merriam-Webster's dictionary, leaven is a substance such as yeast used to produce fermentation in dough or a liquid, especially sourdough, or a material such as a baking powder used to produce a gas that lightens the dough or batter. Leaven is also defined as something that modifies or lightens. Now, if you don't understand that definition, let's think about it this way, all right? Unleavened bread, flat and tough, right? Okay? Leavened bread, light and fluffy, right? When you leaven bread, you put a little leaven in the dough and it spreads to the rest. Now, I don't know about you, okay? I don't know about you, but I consider bread that has been leavened so that it is light and fluffy as being much better than unleavened bread. Any amens to that? Yeah, I like it, right? So if you're used to making sourdough, you even know this, all right? What you do with sourdough is you make your bread, but here's what you do. You keep a little bit of the starter, right? All right, where's not Jennifer. Jessica's making the sourdough. Is Jessica here this morning? She's not here. You tell her I mentioned her. I read her out. She wasn't here this morning, all right? Jessica Turner's gotten really big in sourdough bread, okay? And so you take a little bit of that, you keep it, right? And you feed it and you add more to it so it spreads to the rest. And so it keeps the leaven going and you continue to make bread forever, right? Y'all know what I'm talking about? I mean, it spreads from batch to batch, so you keep the process going. Now, I'm sure I've done a bad job explaining that, but here is a general thing that we need to see, is that leaven spreads and it affects whatever it touches. I'll be honest and say, hear me, this can be a good or bad thing, okay? All right? In fact, in Luke 12, Jesus spoke of leaven as a bad thing. We read this in Luke 12. He said, in the meantime, when so many thousands of the people had gathered together that they were trampling one another, he began to say to disciples, first, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. All right. So Jesus looked at these religious leaders who proclaimed to be righteous but were really far from God, and he warned the disciples, don't be like them. Don't let their leaven spread to you. Don't be infected by their hypocrisy of their life. You need to stay away from them. And so in this case, Jesus saw leaven as a negative thing. However, when Jesus taught this parable in Matthew 13, I believe here's what he's helping us to understand. All right, the kingdom grows as believers impact others by spreading the gospel to them, all right? Let me point out that the three parables we are looking at this morning follow the parable that Luke looked at last week about the sower. What was being spread was the words of the kingdom. It was the words that are about people accepting God's kingship in their lives. Let's never forget that what Jesus had come to do was to save lives, right? It was to help people who are far from God be reconciled to God. It was to help people find forgiveness of sin and a new life in God. We now have the full message of the gospel, which is simply this. Jesus came, lived a sinless life, died a cruel death on a cross to pay for our sins, then was resurrected 3 days later to prove his power and to prove he was the Son of God. And so when you think about the gospel, I mean, it had even humble beginnings. It's like that mustard seed we talked about a few moments ago in the preceding parable. Jesus was born in a manger in the little town of Bethlehem. That was a very humble beginning, was it not? Right? It was. But Jesus was the man who ultimately even the world rejected, but it was his life, his death, and his resurrection that has changed the world. Right? Many of us in this room have had our lives changed because of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The mustard seed has grown, we might say. It is now our responsibility, hear me, to spread the effects of that gospel in our lives. Since there is some controversy as to whether we should see leaven as a good or bad thing in Scripture, let's acknowledge this, that our lives will affect those around us. Right? We all here, all right, hear me. We all, all right, are some kind of leaven. Let's choose to be the leaven that spreads the good news of Jesus Christ. Let's be leaven that helps the gospel spread and the kingdom of heaven grow. Let's be people who help others let God rule in their lives. Except that your life will really do one of two things. It will either help people draw closer to God or take people further from God. And there are really no in between. All right? Let's infect or affect people positively with the gospel of Jesus Christ, because many people need the life-changing message of Jesus. Many people need to know that there is hope in Jesus Christ. All around us are people hopeless and helpless, and we have the answer. And so we need to do our part in being leaven and let the gospel spread so that lives are changed all around us. All right? I also want you to know this. If you affect people positively with the gospel, hear this. The effects of your life goes beyond your lifetime. Right? You affect others who affect another who affect another. Now, I mentioned earlier Billy Graham, whose name in ministry probably most people recognize here, but how many of y'all have heard of Edward Kimball? Anybody heard of Edward Kimball? Unless you know what I'm getting ready to say, you're probably going to say, who? Edward who? You probably haven't heard of Edward Kimball. Well, let's say this. Edward Kimball didn't really hold a fancy title. But what he was a faithful Sunday school teacher in the mid-19th century who became concerned for the spiritual well-being of the young men in his class. And he made it a point to visit each of them personally. One day, he went to the shoe store where one of his young students worked. That young man was Dwight L. Moody. Kimball shared the gospel with Moody, leading him to a personal relationship with Christ. Now, some of you will recognize his name, but if not, just know this, that Dwight L. Moody went on to become one of the most famous evangelists of his time. His preaching reached thousands, and he founded the Moody Church and Northfield School and the Moody Bible Institute. Moody's influence was profound, and one of those influenced by his ministry was Frederick Brotherton Meyer. All right, some of you may recognize his name from books where it's printed as F.B. Meyer, because he became a renowned pastor and evangelist in England. Meyer was so deeply affected by Moody's ministry, and he became a powerful preacher in his own right. And so through his sermons and writings, Meyer reached many, including a man named J. Wilbur Chapman. Now, J. Wilbur Chapman became a prominent evangelist and Presbyterian minister and organized evangelistic events across the United States, where at one point he mentored a young baseball player turned evangelist named Billy Sunday. That's a name probably more of you maybe recognize, all right? My guess, again, some recognize him. Well, Billy Sunday was known for his dynamic preaching style and mass evangelistic crusades in the early 20th century. His fiery sermons and passionate appeal led thousands to Christ, and one of those converted at a Billy Sunday meeting was a man named Mordecai Ham. Now, though he's probably lesser known, Mordecai Ham was a bold and sometimes controversial evangelist who conducted large revival meetings across the southern United States. During one of his crusades, you ready? In Charlotte, North Carolina, a young man named Billy Graham attended and accepted Christ. As I already mentioned, he went on to become the most influential evangelist in history. His crusades reached millions of people across the globe, and he is credited with preaching the gospel to more individuals than anyone else in history. Graham's ministry led many people to Christ, many who became evangelists and missionaries themselves. Here's the point. All right, Edward Kimball, y'all didn't even recognize his name. But he was used like leaven by God and had a positive effect on one, who had a positive effect on another one, who had a positive effect on another one, who had a positive effect on another one, and the story still continues today. In fact, let's do this, all right? So I'm running a risk. Anybody here today would say that you've been affected by Billy Graham's ministry? Raise your hand, all right? Look at that, all right? Kimball from way back, right, in the 19th century, is still ultimately affecting lives today as that is spread like leaven, and it is still going on today, all right? Because if no one else had raised their hand, I could say I've been impacted because just over a week ago, I attended a pastor's retreat at the Cove, which is a part of the Billy Graham ministry, all right? A ministry that continues again even after his death. Here's my encouragement to everyone here. Is to be a positive example of leaven who spreads the gospel to others, because you never know how much impact you will have in the long run. Edward Kimball, hear me, never knew how much impact he had, okay? But he started an impact that continues today, and you can do the same because the kingdom of heaven is like leaven, all right? Now, this takes us to the last of the three parables, the parable of the weeds. I've saved this one until last because Jesus gave an explanation of this parable, so we don't have to guess what he meant. So now let's read his explanation of the parable of the weeds, beginning in verse 36. Then he left the crowds and went into the house, and the disciples came to him saying, "Explain to us the parable of the weeds of the field." And he answered, "The one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed is the sons of the kingdom. The weeds are the sons of the evil one, and the enemy who saved them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are angels. Just as the weeds are gathered and burned with fire, so it will be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all causes of sin and all lawbreakers and throw them into the fiery furnace. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears, let him hear." As we look at this last parable, we need to understand this. Ready? Good and evil will coexist until God executes his final judgment. See, if you remember when I started this morning, I mentioned how one of our greatest questions is, where is God, or what is God up to in the midst of all the chaos we see in the world? Again, some even wonder if God exists. But when you look at the parable of the weeds, we have to remember this, ready? That God is sowing good seed. All right? He's sowing good seeds that grow like mustard seed. He is sowing good seed that spreads like leaven. And we often wonder about all the wicked and chaos in the world. But can I ask you this? Why don't we stop and be thankful for all the good we see in the world? All right? We focus on the bad and we fail often to see the good, all right? When there's also a lot of positive things that's making a huge impact in the world. We dwell on the negative, but all around us are godly people doing great works for God. In fact, I can look across this congregation today and I see many faces of people who I know are this, all right? That God has planted, not just in our world, but in our community, in our congregation, and God's using you to do great work for the Lord, all right? You're helping the kingdom grow. We need to be thankful for that. Let's not forget the part of the parable that says the Lord is sowing into the world people who are making a difference for him, and that's some of you, all right? Let those seeds take roots even in your life today, and let God grow you to do great things for him. But the Bible is true, and the Lord speaks truth. So we also let it be known that not only is he at work in the field, but Satan is at work. And he is sowing throughout the world his own seed. And therefore, there are also many who are doing the work of Satan. Maybe the part that discourages us and maybe even frightens us at times is that it can be hard to know the good, that's the wheat, from the bad, the weeds. In fact, most scholars believe the weeds being referred to here is a plant called darnel, which resembles the look of wheat in the early stages of growth, but in the end produces a much smaller and darker grain. The problem with darnel is that it competes with the crops of wheat for nutrients and water, reducing the yield and quality of the harvest. As well as the darnel seeds are mildly toxic. They contain alkaloids that can cause symptoms such as dizziness, nausea, and even hallucinations if ingested in significant amount. In other words, it's bad for you. Amen? Right? The sad reality is this. The only way to tell the difference between the wheat and the darnel is to let them grow to maturity, and then you can tell them apart. All right, that is why in the parable, the servants were told to let the two continue to grow until the harvest, and then at the harvest time, there would be a separation. Now, again, we don't like that, do we? No. If we had our way right now, here's what we would do. We would eliminate all evil and bad out of the world right now, would we not? Yeah, we would do that. But there is one problem. How do we know what to eliminate? How do we know? I'm reminded here of some lines from a Christian rap song by the artist Lecrae. Now, most of y'all didn't come to church thinking the preacher's going to quote a rapper, right? So a special treat for you today, all right? I want you to listen to what he says. I put them on the screen, so hopefully it'll help you understand what I'm saying. I'm not going to try to rap them, okay? I'm not going to do that. But here's what he says. He says, hey, look, man, some people say that God ain't real because they don't see how a good God can exist with all this evil in the world. If God is real, then he should stop all this evil because he's all powerful, right? What is evil, though, man? It's anything that is against God. It's anything morally bad or wrong. It's murder, rape, stealing, lying, and cheating. But if we want God to stop evil, do we want him to stop it all or just a little bit of it? If he stops us from doing evil things, what about lying or what about all evil thoughts? I mean, where do you stop? The murder level, the lying level, or the thinking level? If we want him to stop evil, we got to be consistent. We can't just pick and choose. That means you and I would be eliminated, right? Because we think evil stuff. If that's true, we should be eliminated. But thanks be to God that Jesus stepped in to save us from our sin. Christ died for all evilness. Repent, turn to Jesus, man. Amen, right? Now I got some new rappers, right? Y'all gonna go listen to rap music this afternoon, right? If you do, be careful who you choose, all right? Lecrae's okay. You can choose Lecrae. He's good, right? Now again, rap may not be your thing, but those are some good words. In part, it really is reminding us of truth from this parable. Here, be ready. The judgment belongs to God. I can't pull the weeds out of the world because I'm really incapable of knowing what is good and evil. There are lives right now that I might look at and I judge as good, but God knows that really what's going on inside of their life is rotten, it's empty, it's nothing, right? It's evil. I can't see that, but God can. I also might judge someone's life as bad, but what God really knows is there's a life that's seeking him in the midst of struggles, and I cannot know those things, and so we leave the judging up to God. Now, if that is something that discourages you or leaves you unsatisfied, just remember this. In the end, God will judge and God will make all things right. All right? If in this world you feel like you're living for God and getting the short end of the stick, there is a day coming, all right, when God will reward you for what you've done. Praise the Lord, right? Similarly, all right, if you see some people who seem to be living ungodly lives but seem to be prospering, know in the end they too will get what they deserve. All right? Look at the ending of this parable again as we read. He said, let both grow together until the harvest, and at harvest time I will tell the reapers, gather the weeds first and bind them in the bundles to be burned, but gather the wheat into their barns. He explained it this way, the Son of Man will send his angels and they will gather out of his kingdom all causes of sin and all lawbreakers and throw them into the fiery furnace. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears, let him hear. You see, in the end, God will reward those who are part of his kingdom and living for him, and he will punish those who have remained in their sin. But what everyone here really needs to be concerned about is, can it be said of me, as Paul said of the believers in Thessalonica, that you turn to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who delivers, look at this, who delivers us from what? The wrath to come. You see, those words point us to the hope that any of us have. Our hope is that we turn to God. What God has done through Jesus Christ is our hope in being delivered from the wrath to come, because we all have sinned, but through faith in Jesus, we can be forgiven and given the gift of eternal life. And then we get the gift of the Holy Spirit so that we can live for God. And when a person lives for God through the power of the Holy Spirit, then your life becomes a life through which God can do great things. Your life moves from a life deserving of wrath to a life worthy of praise to be rewarded someday when you will shine like the sun in the kingdom of heaven. Today, focus, hear me, focus on being that good seed, because the kingdom of God is compared to a man who sowed good seed in his fields. Now, let me wrap this up quickly by giving you three challenges as we close. And don't think, I'm not going to take another 30 minutes to do this, all right, real quick, three quick challenges. Be open to God doing great things through you. I guarantee you there are some here this morning who feel like you don't have much to offer God. Maybe your circumstances in life have you at a difficult place. Maybe you feel like you have so much you need that you have nothing to give to others. Or maybe you've simply grown up feeling like you have nothing to offer. Here is what I want everyone to see. We all at least have something the size of a mustard seed to give to God, right? Right? And so if we'll give your mustard seed-sized life to God, he can do great things. And I believe God simply wants from you is openness to be used. God's not going to force his way in, but if you choose to let God work in your life, he will do more than you could ever imagine or hope. Be a mustard seed in the hand of God. Two, be a spreader of the gospel to those in your realm of influence. Here's something we all do each day. We all come in contact with other people, right? All right. So with those you come in contact with, are you leavening those lives where you're affecting them with the gospel? There is no doubt that one of, if not the greatest way the kingdom of heaven grows, is one believer shares the gospel with an unbeliever who becomes a believer, who shares with an unbeliever, who becomes a believer, who shares with an unbeliever, who becomes a believer, and it spreads. And so what I want to challenge you today, listen, is be a spreader of the gospel. I'm going to say this. You don't have to go knock cold turkey on someone's door to spread the gospel. You come in contact with people every day who need the gospel. My question is, are you being leavened where you're at? Spread the gospel wherever you go, all right? And the third one is simply this. Be authentic and let God worry about judging the people in the end. Look, God doesn't need you and I to be the ultimate judge of right or wrong, right? Don't hear me wrong on that. It just comes to mind. I need to mention this. The Bible calls some things wrong, and so what's wrong is wrong. If God says it's wrong, it's wrong, all right? So I'm not talking about calling things wrong right or overlooking that stuff, but here's what I am saying. We are not the ultimate judge. God is. What God wants us to do is look. He wants us to be authentic. He wants you to be a believer. He wants you to spread the good news. He wants you to reach those who may be caught in sin and help them be delivered from sin. He wants you to do all of that. And in the end, here's what he wants you to do. Just rest and let him take care of it. All right, because if you're worried about all that's going on and wrong and somebody that seems to be doing wrong but seems to be flourishing, listen, God will take care of that. You just rest and let him do it, right? Because today, listen, the kingdom of heaven, all right, is a great thing. And here's what God is asking you simply to do. Be a part of his kingdom, all right? Because in his kingdom, listen, it grows like a mustard seed. His kingdom, it spreads like leaven. And in his kingdom, listen, all right, it's going to live in the midst of a chaotic world, but in the end, he's going to make it all right. Amen. Let's pray together. Our Father, as we come to you this morning, Lord, your word is so rich to us. And God, there's much more I'm sure that could even be said. But I'm thank you for these lessons that Jesus has given us that we can learn from, Lord, so that we can grow even to understand your will and what your kingdom is like. And so this morning, here's what I want to pray, God. I want to pray that those who have ears today, they've heard. And I pray that those who have eyes today, they've seen what you want us to hear and what you want us to see. So even, Father, if I've misspoke something, Lord, I pray, yeah, just wipe it out of their mind. But Father, I know your word says your word's not going to return void. So if nothing else, Father, just as your word was read, I want you to speak in hearts and lives today, Lord, and change them. Because, Father, I know today you truly are in the business of changing lives. So we simply want to be a part of your kingdom. And so use us, God. And I'm excited what you're going to do with those who choose to be a part of your kingdom and how you grow it, Lord, through those who surrender and say, Lord, I'm yours. And so as we come even to this invitation, God, just speak to lives. I don't know decisions that need to be made. But, Father, this morning I pray that some today will choose to be that seed that takes root. And today they'll grow into something great as they're used by you. And so bless, Father, this time I pray. And as I pray these things, I pray them in Jesus' name. Amen.